Welcome to How to Build a Tent. I have to say, this show over the last two episodes has probably grown 500%. 500% on the YouTube and the normal podcast. For those of you listening on YouTube, I have a podcast. You can listen to it on the Fight Laugh Feast Network podcast, wherever you listen to podcasts. For those on the podcast, if you want to watch the show live, check out YouTube until I'm banned. I just hit the monetization threshold. I'm scared to apply because I think if I apply, they're going to ban me right now altogether. So, but thank you for everyone who comments, likes, subscribes, wherever you're at. That really helps us continue to grow like we've been doing for a long time. Today, I want to talk about what do we need to focus on now. I'm getting so many messages with hope for something to happen with Trump. And honestly, now is the time to prepare for what happens after Trump. So I want to talk about a few things that I've been hearing a lot that just do not make any sense to me whatsoever. And then the second part of the show is going to be the action items for you and me to do to be prepared for whatever is going to come with a complete control of the House, the Senate, and the executive branch. I guess the House and the Senate is the same. The judiciary, the Senate, and the executive branch. So we're going to talk about that today because I'm not going to leave you. I'm going to be actually giving you straightforward things that you need to be doing, and I'm not going to speak in riddles. So let's get into that. Before we do, go over to the flfnetwork.com, flfnetwork.com, become a member, subscribe. You'll get a mug. You'll get tons of other great benefits. You'll get to see stuff behind the paywall. But most of all, you'll be helping us as we build a platform for when we do get this deplatformed, where if you find this content encouraging, that you appreciate having a Christian perspective on all of the events of the world and politics and business and sports and all this stuff, then go be a member so that we can continue to bring you this content. You can help support us and partner with us as we proclaim the Lordship of Jesus in every area of life. All right, so let's talk about first this idea that I've been hearing a lot, and it honestly doesn't make sense to me, guys. And I'd love for you to comment. You can email me, matt@howtobuildatent.com, comment in the messages, or find me on the social media sites. Twitter and Facebook is all that's around right now. This is what I don't get. This is the argument, something's still going to happen, and that there's going to be this radical change. The military will not let Joe Biden be president because of his compromise and all of these different things. And I don't understand that whatsoever. And I'll tell you in a second. But first, I want to say why I fought so hard for this election, why I fought so hard for us to expose election fraud, to expose the corruption, which I do believe happened. I believe there was massive amounts of normal fraud. There is massive amounts of Dominion fraud and all of these different things. And I'm probably saying this stuff and I'm going to get kicked off of YouTube. So if it is on YouTube, go over to the Fight Laugh Feast to stream if you want to hear the rest. I believe all that stuff happened, but there's not a mechanism to convert that into justice. And I think that is what we've been seeing. We've been seeing through all of 2020 and into 2021, the failures of all of the institutions and ideas that we believed in. I think that is something that God has been doing this year and into this new year, because obviously he doesn't have to work on our calendar. But it's been really revealing to us to see how many people that we thought had some higher callings, had higher ideals, was the best of us, fail us. Every branch of government, the DOJ, the FBI, the intelligence agencies, and so on, they've all failed us in so many different ways. But the reason was that we fought for this is because if we lost the democratic process of voting for the people that represent us, it's over. This was greater than Donald Trump. This wasn't about getting Donald Trump in office, and this wasn't about keeping Biden from being in office. Although we should have, I mean, that's a noble goal. Biden's a terrible person. He's compromised. He's selling us out. He's in the pocket of the Chinese. He has a corrupt family. There's no way he's qualified to be president. And Kamala Harris, who's probably going to be president soon after he gets inaugurated, she's going to be terrible too. And there's going to be a lot of hardship for us Christians specifically, but conservatives as a whole, as we're starting to see happen on social media, on the merchant services, and all these different things. But the idea that the military isn't going to let Joe Biden be president because of Joe Biden, that doesn't make any sense, guys. That doesn't make sense. I could see the argument being made that they saw the corruption, they have the evidence, and they're not going to let our Constitution crumble. But that's not the argument I'm hearing from people. I'm hearing it's because it's Joe Biden. And now think about this. Joe Biden was vice president to Barack Obama, who gave pallets and pallets of cash to the number two enemy to the United States in the world, Iran. And the army most likely were the ones who transported it to him. And the army let that happen. And the army let Obama do the crazy things that he did. Is Joe Biden worse than Barack Obama? Especially now in his incapacities, and that he can't even form a sentence. Are we really arguing that Joe Biden is a bigger threat than Barack Obama was? I find that really hard to believe, guys. And if you would think about it, you would too. Out of all of the things that Obama did to destroy our country, Biden is going to be where the military takes its stand. And let's just remember, again, this is the Christian worldview that we talk about here. This is how we see the world through the Christian worldview, because God created everything. And so that is reality. And even as we're starting to see the facade of what we thought was reality, a lens being fair, we thought we had a DOJ that actually pursued justice. We thought it lived up to its name. We thought we had a conservative Supreme Court that would save us. Some of us knew better. After all, Roe versus Wade was determined by Republican-appointed judges. We had all of these people that we thought were going to save us. And we thought they were the best of us. They had their values. They had principles. They were going to sacrifice for the country. Why is the military any different? Now, I'm not saying that everyone in the military is corrupt or and people aren't brave in the military. Obviously, that's not true. But to think that the people at the highest levels, the generals, the people that are making deals where they retire and they go work for these contractors and get these huge paying jobs, with so much money that's getting circulated into the military through contracts and all these things. Like, remember the whole, like, always starting wars and how Trump never started a war and how much money is made from wars? And that we're sinful people. So when you combine sinful people with lots of money, why is the institution of corruption and taking principled stands while every other institution has failed us? I don't think any of us argue that all the other institutions have failed us for power, for money, for whatever reason. Why would the military be immune? I just don't get it. I don't understand. I'd love to hear from you and your thoughts and arguments on that. So with that, we need to understand that even though there's weird things going on, and I admit they're weird, I have no explanation for them. There's weird moves being made, and Biden becoming president leaves a lot of, I don't know how to say it, loose ends. A lot of loose ends that I can't explain with what Trump's done, with people around him have done. Maybe it is coincidences. I've never believed in coincidences, but I mean, maybe we're going to have to start believing in coincidences because of some of the things that happened. But there are things that we need to do, and there's things that we need to fight for. And remember, all of us said this is bigger than Trump, or most of us said this is bigger than Trump. So if this is true, that this is bigger than Trump, then we can't stop fighting because Trump wasn't in office. Hear me on that. If this corruption and this battle that we're fighting is bigger than Trump, it's not just that Trump needs to get reelected. It's that the institutions of our country that hold us together, that are the foundations of our country. If that is what we're fighting for, then if we lose this battle, then we shouldn't just give up because there's something greater that we are fighting for. And you've heard me say before that if they do win, it's going to be over because they're going to cheat more. We're not going to get the voter turnout that we wanted in the future elections because people are going to be discouraged and know that the cheating is going to happen. And no matter what they do, their vote's not going to count. Those things are still true. And let me say this. And so I'm going to add some more things to these points of failure. And then I'm going to give you hope. And then I'm going to give you action items. So I'm not going to leave you just totally depressed. So on top of those two things, we're going to have most likely Washington, D.C., Puerto Rico, and Guam become states, which are going to have three more perpetual Democrat senators, unless God does some miracle in those countries and opens their eyes to the evils of socialism. They're going to pack the Supreme Court with even more liberal judges. So there's really going to be even more things to fight. But that doesn't mean we give up. And I asked this question on my social media. I said, what do you do when truth is on your side, but none of the institutions are? And that, I think, is the clarifying question that if we answer it, we will win. And I was thinking about it days and days and days. What do you do when you are right? There, you know the truth. That this was stolen from us. This was taken from us. But every institution that would be or designed to, should function to carry out justice, is corrupt themselves and against us. That, I think, we need to just square in our minds that that is where we are at. The military is not going to save us. They have careers, they have money to be made, just like everybody else in Washington. And again, I'm not saying everyone is corrupt in Washington, but I'm just saying the culture, the high up, the people that are the ones getting these deals and making these deals, the ones who control these institutions, seem to be all part of it. I don't see anybody really speaking out and defending Trump. I see a bunch of people backstabbing him and not calling for a do-over or transparency or reviews or anything like that. Not one person besides Donald Trump and his lawyers. Maybe Mike Pompeo, but I haven't seen him really say anything. I don't know. So what do you do? And the only thing I can think of is that we appeal to the highest court, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and fall on our faces and beg for him to act. I don't believe there is anything that we can do to defeat this enemy. It has gotten to such a big place. The tyranny, the apparatus, the bureaucracy is too big that there's no way we're going to beat them. It was a miracle that Trump surprised them and overcame them in 2016. I think they learned their lesson in 2016 and just made sure it wasn't going to happen again in 2018, 2020. So that's where we're at. What do we do? And we'll talk about that at the other end of this break. And we're going to talk to you about Samaritan Ministries, which, hey guys, if you know the trend, it looks like they're dropping a lot of us conservatives. We're dropping us on our merchant services account. They're dropping us on our social media accounts, on our flying. Delta, United Airlines are kicking people off that are conservatives. Your health insurance might kick you off too. And if they do, or if you're just looking for options, this ad is for you, Samaritan Ministries. Are you still trying to figure out how to pay for your medical needs in 2021? Take a look at Samaritan Ministries, where there are over 280,000 Samaritan members care for you spiritually and financially when you have a medical need, all without the use of insurance. When a medical need arises, you choose the healthcare providers and treatments that work best for you, and your medical bills are sent to Samaritan Ministries, and they notify members to pray and send money directly to you to pay your shareable bills. Let's face it, an unexpected medical emergency can happen at any time. Make sure you're prepared. Healthcare sharing at Samaritan Ministries is biblical, affordable, and since they're not bound by open enrollment, you can join today. Take a minute now to visit SamaritanMinistries.org/howtobuildatent to learn more. That's SamaritanMinistries.org/howtobuildatent. Support the show and go check out a really great company by going to SamaritanMinistries.org/howtobuildatent. All right, so what do we do? And I'm going to start this with something not to do. I've been seeing a flyer going around telling people to march on their capitals in Washington, D.C. armed on, I think it is on Inauguration Day. That is the dumbest thing that you could do. One, you're announcing that you're going and doing it beforehand. What are you trying to accomplish? Like, why are you going to bring your guns and break laws and be able to go to jail if you go to D.C.? You're not allowed to carry weapons in D.C. Why would you do that? To make a statement? The National Guard is there and 10 to 15,000 of them. Do you want to go die? Do you want to be thrown under the bus as being the typical Trump supporter that is going to, you know, do another insurrection? You don't think they're going to label that and spin it that way? You don't think there's going to be agitators in the crowd to try to start something so that they can further lock down us or to make these, you know, tyrannical orders? Don't do that. There's a great Christian principle where Jesus says is don't go to war unless you count the cost and you think you can win. And going to Washington, D.C. is not where you're going to win. The only reason that people were able to get into the Capitol is because they let you get in. And they wanted to spin a narrative. There's no other reason why you were able to, or we were able to, those people that were marching in were able to get in. And the video shows it. They welcomed you in. Do not think for a second that they are going to be that welcoming when you're armed. Just warning you, do not do it. That is not the fight to have. But what is the fight to have is when they start coming for your business, when they start coming for the mandatory vaccinations, or you're not going to fly, or you're not going to do all these things, and they try to make you to have it, when they come for your weapons, I've already resolved in myself that that is a line I'm not going to draw. They are not going to take my weapons. It's just not going to happen. So what do we do is we retreat and focus locally. We start talking with our sheriffs. We start talking with our mayor who controls the police force. And we make sure that they understand what's at stake. And we make sure that we are living in an area that people that we can trust in local office. Because what is going to happen is if these edicts come from Washington, D.C., where they try to mandate things that are unconstitutional, that are against our God-given rights, that are against our conscience, that are going to try to close us down from worship, that are going to try to make us wear mandatory masks. When those things come down, if your sheriff and your police and your through your mayor do not enforce it, then the only way the federal government is going to be able to is if they send the army down to enforce it or the National Guard down to enforce it. And then is the time to start making your stand. There is the time. If they start taking your kids away because they have COVID and they have some mandatory time that they can take away your kids, like when New York's tried to pass, I don't know even if they passed it or not. That's when you fight. It's always defensive. You're defending yourself. You're not going on attack, and you're definitely not going on suicide missions. Like this flyer reminds, it's like if we signed the Declaration of Independence, we shipped it off to England, and we told them, oh yeah, and we're sailing to England to topple the crown. Like they would have been destroyed. That's like this march. So just, I'm just really trying to make it clear. If you know anyone that is thinking of going to this armed march to any of the capitals of the 50 states or the DC, tell them not to do it. Just it doesn't make sense on any level. It's a trap. That's what it is. They're trying to do another narrative push where they can, you know, pass some crazy laws now that they have control of every branch of government. But this is what you do is you get involved in the local politics. You talk to your mayor, you talk to your and if you don't have good mayors and you don't have good sheriffs, then you move or you organize and find people that you can put in office that will. I have a really bad feeling that our national elections are going to be rigged forever and we're never going to win anything substantial again unless one, God grants us repentance and revival and all this good stuff, or two, they throw us a bone every once in a while. But I don't believe they're going to be doing this so much at the local election, so there might be still hope there. And again, if there isn't, if we find out that they're just as rigged as all the other elections, then you got to move to a place where we do have a good sheriff remaining. We do have good mayors. And then you need to find a church that has biblically wise men who know what it is to fight, to know how to fight, that know what to do in situations and how to make critical decisions that are important for the times that come. If the persecution comes, if you lose your job, how do you sustain yourselves? How do you sustain your community? This is where we need to turn our attention to. This is the only way we're going to survive if what I think is coming is going to come. And if anything has shown us in the last couple of days, the left is trying to punish us for the last 4 years. Absolutely punish us. It is not enough that we can't be on their platforms. We can't be on our own platforms. It's not enough that we lost the election. We can't even sing about the United States on an airplane. We can't even have conversations about Donald Trump on an airplane, or they're going to ground the flight. And if you think about how much it costs to take off from an airplane, those companies are doing this at their expense to make a point. They are punishing us. When Stripe kicks off customers, when Airbnb is no longer going to provide their services to people that went to Washington, D.C., they're willing to punish the people that use their app that rent their homes out and the people that use it for staying at homes. It's not going to stop. And the smartest thing for us to do is not to march on Washington, D.C., but it's to get involved in a great church that has strong men that are faithful and know how to fight and are wise and know how to be discerning and know how to navigate dangerous times, and to get involved in local politics, and then pray, and then seek God's face and pray for repentance for this nation. And maybe God will grant it to us where we can rebuild locally to the top. It is time for us to stop banking and hoping that others are going to fight our battles for us in Washington, D.C. I think it's clear by now that that's not going to happen. I hope I'm wrong, but I don't think that's going to happen. So pray about that. Figure out how you can make that happen, how you can get involved locally, how you can start engaging your church and getting these conversations going, and we'll go from there. We'll talk to you tomorrow. God bless.